Hi, this is Eddie from Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan, Illinois, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, sucker.
This is Starscream, the true leader of Cybertron, and consequently, all things Transformers. Get it? That's the name of the show.
This is Optimus Prime, and you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Hello, and welcome to All Things Transformers. I'm your host, Steve Megatron. Joining me on this adventure in Transformers fandom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello.
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 Yes, we're here.
It's been a couple months.
It's actually been about almost two full months.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, well, a lot has been going on in the last 2 months between real life and website redesigns and other things. I actually wrote this down. May 21st of this year was the last episode to July 22nd, is all pretty well. The episode will probably be out later this week, probably on Thursday, the 24th. But yeah, so it's been almost exactly two full months since the last episode of All Things Transformers. I meant Thursday, July 25th. I got my dates mixed up. Sorry, y'all. Folks, we old.
Taking some much needed time off to renovate the website and fix RSS feeds and fix podcast feeds, removing commercials, all of that fun stuff.
Yep. The only commercials you're going to hear now are the podcast ads we put in to promote other podcasts.
Yep.
I think we're, other than whoever else is using RSS.com, we are the only podcast I listen to or that I know of that doesn't have pre-roll ads anymore, and it's so fucking refreshing.
Well, and this is the thing, I think iHeart's not doing very well, and I know this is a Transformers podcast, and it's, you know,
no, it's fine,
I don't think they're doing very well, and this coming from someone who advertises on iHeart as a part of my day job, the amount of stuff I see come through with them trying to get people to sign on for stuff, and it's like massively overpriced or overrated, or there's a lot of extra hype in a lot of what they're promoting that I don't think is warranted. Because when we were on Spreaker Prime, which was owned by iHeart, they were talking about the ad revenue drying up. More or less, which is why they were trying to push this like Patreon model through iHeart and Spreaker. And I was like, no. And fortunately for me, I mean, I was working, so I was listening to the webinar, and they were very heavily pushing it. And I get it, it's like another avenue to make money, but same token, I think that they were trying to get it to where they aren't necessarily like you're paying the money to be on their platform, but then or they're having the ads on there, but they're also having a way for you to make money that's going to supplement what you're not going to make on the ads. And it was difficult to get any of the reps to get a hold of me, knowing what I know about iHeart and their industry. A lot of the things that they're touting have either closed down, or like they were like, oh, you can advertise on this platform, but it's one of the ones that they mentioned, it was a free TV platform. It went away literally 3 days after they had this webinar to promote advertising on their thing. And I was like, well, that's not a good omen. And the local rep was like, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have a lot of, like, I like the people involved with iHeart, I just don't necessarily believe that they're doing all that great. So I was happy to move and find RSS.com. They've been super, super awesome. If anybody wants to switch and move to them, I would love to give you a promo code just because it helps us.
Absolutely.
But it also helps you. They're very forward thinking. They're very helpful in getting the feed switched over. I mean, we had 38 shows to move, and they did all the legwork, and I was very appreciative.
Yeah, absolutely. They rock.
Yeah. So it was, I mean, it's a lot of content to pull, and they weren't even sure if they were going to be able to yank things beyond 300 episodes, and they managed to do it just fine. So
nice.
I'm very happy with the platform, and yeah, there's some things that could be added or improved, but it looks like they're constantly working on it. Whereas Spreaker, I didn't get that vibe. I mean, we'd been with them since 2016 and had no changes really in the dashboard aside from a few little things here or there. It was pretty much the same interface and everything, like nothing was added really of value. So, yeah. So anyways, I'm glad that we're ad-free now. We can talk about Transformers and not have, you know, an ad for
Cialis.
You know, yeah, I was going to say that. I was like, your mileage may vary, you know, on what pops up.
Well, yeah, but the point is that we could be having this conversation and you just talked about all of the ads and the things and whatever. Maybe if we were still on there and we did the auto-generated ads where it automatically inserts them versus manually inserts them, and it might have interrupted you saying, hey, we're moving from this to this, or we're doing this to this, and iHeart's not doing well. Would you like to buy some blah, 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 blah? No. Like, just no. As a podcast listener, unless it's an advertisement for a different show on a different, like, if I listen to, say, The Long Box Crusade, or if I listen to any of the Fire and Water Podcast Network ads, network podcasts, you know, they advertise all the other shows on all, just like we do. In every show that I publish, every show that I edit, I put our ads as well as our other people that I promote ads. So this is an episode of All Things Transformers. Later in the episode, you're going to hear an ad for Altered Geek. Altered Geek, you're going to hear an ad for All Things Trans. You know, we always do that. And the thing of it is with Spreaker specifically, unless you manually inserted those, unless you just left it on auto, you're going to get, this is TFU and Mike, and I'm talking about, would you like to buy? No. As a podcast? Nope. I do not want ad. Now, again, if you do what I did and you work it into where it's not interrupting the conversation, fine. Put the ads in that you want. I don't care. But don't just leave it on auto for the sake of leaving it on auto. Anyway, Transformers.
Yes.
You are receiving a transmission from the Rod Pod. Upload pending.
Stand by for soundtrack transfer.
I am Maggie.
And I am John.
And we are trapped, hurtling through space in a ship shaped like Rodimus's head.
The ship, for reasons we haven't been able to determine, contains the entire run of the IDW Transformers Phase 2 comic, which chronicle the events following the end of the war between the Autobots and Decepticons. So we figure we may as well read them all in order and report our findings to you.
Stand by. Stand by.
Upload complete now.
The Rod Pod.
Look for us at marriedwcomics.libsyn.com, at iTunes, at Stitcher, or wherever good podcasts can be found.
So, till all are one.
Till all are one.
Till all are one.
November 1st to 3rd, 2024, TFCon Baltimore, Baltimore, Maryland. Special guest, Peter Cullen, the voice of Optimus Prime, appearing Saturday and Sunday. Dun, dun, dun. This is sponsored by, Peter Cullen is sponsored by The Chosen Prime. He will be signing for fans Saturday and Sunday of the convention. All PeterCon autographed tickets will be sold through the website prior to the convention for weekend pass holders. It specifically says weekend pass holders. So if you're going to just get a daily pass, that's not going to allow you to have a Peter Cullen experience. Once they sell out, there will be not any tickets available to purchase at the event. That's key, too. You have to pre-purchase these weekend pass holder tickets. Because if you wait until you get to the event, none of the Peter Cullen tickets will be available to purchase at the event. So, yeah. But yeah, Peter Cullen, Baltimore, Maryland, November 1st to 3rd, 2024. 40th anniversary, Transformers. Yay!
As much as I am like, yay, convention, I haven't been to one in years. The last one I went to, I got Frank Walker
yep.
photo.
Which was...
And I met Michael Wilson in person there, yep. and
a
bunch of other people. Yep,
absolutely. Yeah, I'm more apt to stay at home and just find people who go to the conventions and just bring them on Geekcast Radio and just do a convention attention or a convention recap episode and just ask them about their experience. Like, as of this recording, we are... Two days away from San Diego Comic-Con starting on Wednesday the 24th. I'm hoping a couple of my friends who are actually going, I'm hoping I can get them over on Geekcast Radio to do a recap episode after the convention next week. So, yeah, I more enjoy just doing that. And I can look at news articles like the Peter Cullen attending announcement or like, hey, this is what's kind of like, we've got this whole thing later. It's going to take up a majority of the podcast folks today for all things Transformers. All of Hasbro's panels at San Diego Comic-Con. And the funny thing is until I actually saw that it was San Diego, I thought they were bringing back PulseCon. Like, literally, when I first saw the article about the San Diego Comic-Con plans, the image by itself with the trees and the this and the that, I'm like, oh, it's PulseCon. They brought it back because it says Hasbro Pulse at San Diego. And I'm like, oh, okay, but it is what it is. Continuing on down the Peter Cullen Optimus Prime path, we have the Prime packaging first look. SS-86-31 Commander Class Optimus Prime. This figure is gonna be interesting. We will talk about that more in a moment, but what do you think of the packaging overall?
I love the box mm-hmm. art, but it's done by, I think, Marcello, mm-hmm. so I expect nothing less
excellence.
Than
yep.
awesome. Yeah, it looks spectacular. Now, the figure itself, I have reservations.
Yes, we're going to talk about that right now. So the next story we have here is the SS-86 Commander Optimus Prime full images. And I'm just going to start with the very first image with him standing in his trailer upright with the stuff. When I first saw these, I was very much in line with what you thought and what you think. And I'll let you get to what you think in a moment. But the funny thing is, as I'm seeing more and more of the images, I'm like, oh, I kind of really dig it. I don't want to, but I kind of really dig it. And what I dig about it is the alt mode more than the robot mode for me. So what are your thoughts?
So my main gripes with it, to be honest, are I find that lack of detail. An issue. Like, Prime's head looks like crap. The glass on his windows of his truck kind of look crap. I don't know, like, I expected more of a polished figure. It looks like a deluxe class paint job.
Yeah.
Yeah, they painted the yellow parts of his, you know, his waist and the blue part, and they, you know, they got some of the stuff, you know, painted decent. But when I look at the box art and how he looked in the movie,
right.
and then I look at this, yeah. I don't know if I would waste the money.
Yeah.
I feel like the Earthrise did a better job, not only in proportions, but in color detail. I mean, I have that figure, and while the window on the glass was kind of meh at best, I feel like a lot of his colors, yes, they're animation, yes, they're, you know, made to look different, but when I put the box art side by side with this, and I look at the shot, you know, with Marcello, yep, I feel like there should be more of that movie paint job aesthetic. Yep. More of the shininess, more of the, you know, the grit, more of the, like, the head sculpt is not the same.
Yeah.
I love that you can move the arms, mm-hmm, at the shoulder, yep, joints, whereas you couldn't do that before over the chest. Like, you can move it to do the swinging punch, you can open the matrix, you can have the posability, you get the ankle tilt. I totally give them on posability. Mm-hmm. Like, hands down. And in vehicle mode.
Yep.
Hands down, like, the best. Even the robot mode, like, my main gripe is it doesn't look like a premium figure.
Yeah, I will agree with
for the 80s.
Yeah, I will agree with that. It looks
like if this was, you know, 50, mm-hmm, 55, I'd be like, okay. I mean, I might, but for 85, 90, no.
No.
Like, I could, for $10 more, I could buy a knockoff masterpiece without the trailer and get all of the same stuff with a polished paint, yeah, job.
So, and again, I could be completely wrong with what I'm about to say, but I think this is what they did. And I don't know, because I didn't watch the Hasbro Pulse fan stream about this, or if they've even done one yet, or whatever, but I'm sure they've discussed it leading up to San Diego and everything else. And like I said earlier, we're going to get into San Diego in a little bit here. But looking at this again, more clearly, as I'm not laying down in bed watching it on my phone or looking at an image on, oh, the thing got announced. I'm like, okay, great, I'll look at it in the morning. As I'm actually sitting here looking at these images, all of them, from the ones where he's just like standing up in the trailer thing where it's vertical, to the pose, the action pose and robot mode, to the vehicle mode, I think what they did is they made a matte Optimus Prime. This is not glossy Prime. This is not full on detail. Those windows look plastic as hell. I'm not saying the robots are going to have glass windows, but literally and I get it. We all want animation accurate. Y'all, how long have Steve and I been bitching about? We've been bitching about this for 16 years now on All Things Transformers. Oh, by the way, happy 16th anniversary. No, November. Wow. August 8th, 2024, 16th anniversary of All Things Transformers. You're probably going to get this episode before then, folks, because as of right now, as you're hearing my voice, Steve is out of town. But it just looks too, like, I like Matt. Matte finish is fine on certain things, but this matte finish looks flat as hell. Those windows look like cardboard cutouts that are not cardboard.
Well, and this is the thing. I think if the head sculpt had the proper, you know, the proper head on it, like if they took, what the heck is it? The, not... I'm trying to find it, like, specifically, but it's an Optimus Prime that,
Earthrise.
It's not the masterpiece, no, but it's one of the, it's not the Earthrise. It's not, yeah, that's the hard part is I'm trying, yeah, to.
Like, no, anyway, like, other than that, it looks really, like, if I was gonna spend the $90 on this, I would spend it for roller and for this to entirely stay in vehicle mode, to be able to use the trailer with roller and with my other Transformers. I would never transform Optimus Prime into robot mode if I had this.
So this is the one that I was thinking, mm-hmm, of. They should have given this figure the level of paint detail they gave the Generations Leader Optimus Prime Volvo VNR300.
Yep, I agree.
Great job that they gave the one that was Christmas Prime and the one alternative. Yep. They should have given it the darker red and given it the darker blue from that figure. Some of the grays, you know, yes, he had white, but some of the silver in the places that made sense. The clear glass to see, you know, either blue clear glass or clear glass to see the Matrix. And quite honestly, the head sculpt.
Yeah, the head sculpt is yeah.
from it. I feel like they botched it on this one.
I mean, it is accurate to the animation, but the animation is way more detailed.
It is, but not to the movie.
Yeah, it's the animation in the movie is way more detailed than this.
Now, if they were going for Studio Series 84, I would probably give this to them. But being that the movie was so polished, like the knockoffs have better decos on this. I mean, And I'm not saying like, oh, boo on Hasbro. Because, like, I mean, it is a great figure. The articulation, the movement. I mean, he has a bendable hand. Like, his hands fold into his wrists. So, I mean, he has a lot going for him. He really does. Like, he can bend his legs. But I think they also took cues from Masterpiece 44 Optimus Prime. Yeah. And that's where they got a lot of this articulation, a lot of the detail, a lot of that stuff. For me, like, it's the windows, it's the head sculpt, and it's the paint job. It doesn't feel premium to me.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just been done better on the Volvo, but even the reds and the blues on their Earthrise Leader Optimus Prime, I feel like was better than what we're getting here.
Yeah, absolutely.
This looks like a cheaper figure.
Yeah.
It may not be, but it looks that way. And that's where I have the gripe.
Yeah. And
otherwise, I think that it would be flawless and I would be like, this is a must own.
I know this is a silly thing to complain about, folks. Look, I get it. First world problems, whatever.
But for $90.
Yeah, exactly. For $90. Here's my other issue.
Yeah.
Like I said, everything on the figure is the matte finish. It is solid colors, and I get it. It's supposed to be animation accurate to the movie. It's supposed to be. The little flame stocks to reenact the scene of him exploding after the Decepticons shoot him to transform. Those should be the same orange, but translucent color, or have some sort of brightness to them to make it look like it just looks like he's on two orange jacks at Wheeljack's garage in that image.
So, to be frank, the Prime should have had the yellow park.
Yes. Yes.
And yes. So, like, honestly, that's where that's what I was expecting. Like, and then to see this spit out, I was kind of like, I was so excited for it beforehand. And then I saw it and I was like,
nope,
maybe I don't.
Exactly.
Like,
they did a better job with Studio Series 86 leader class, or not leader class, commander class Optimus Prime than they did with Commander class Optimus Prime. Okay, look, folks, everybody knows, last 16 years you've been listening to Steve, last whatever how long you've been listening to me too on here. Y'all know I am a Rodimus fanboy at heart. And the fact that I'm not just saying this because, ooh, Optimus Prime, worst leader ever, whatever. I'm not saying it because of that. I'm saying it because it's fact. I can look right now on my desk next to the translucent purple version of the Galvatron figure that they did. I'm looking right at Commander Class Rodimus Prime, and it is a much better representation of the character in the animation than this is. This is good-ish. It just, like, it's not polished enough. There isn't, like you said, there isn't enough detail. What details are there are good, but for the price, I'd rather pay Yolo Park for their awesome stuff that they do. honestly, in the end. Because I like their stuff a hell of a lot more than I like this.
No, I agree. And, like, if I wanted a Prime that transforms, I would go with the Magic Square MS-01X Light of Freedom Optimus Prime Metallic version. Because, honestly, I love the deco of him with the metallic look. And he comes with the Matrix. He's got posable fingers. He's, I don't know, just it, and it transforms.
Yeah.
So I'm so down with that one. But the, if I was getting one that just doesn't transform, the yellow part for sure.
All right, folks, we got one more toy to talk about before we go to comics, and then we're going to close the show out with SDCC, CCCC. Transformers Generations Legacy United Leader Soundwave in hand images. Coming to us via an eBay seller. We can share for you our first in-hand images of the highly anticipated Transformers Generations Legacy United Leader Sound. That's a mouthful. This is a redeco of the elusive Netflix Voyager Soundwave, plus a Rumble toy-inspired redeco, Ravage redeco, and our first official release of Buzzsaw, which is a Laserbeak redeco. So this is the elusive Netflix Soundwave in the Generations line. It looks really good from all angles.
Yep.
The only way, like, I don't even remember what the Netflix one transforms into. I'm sure they found a way to do tape deck mode, fine, whatever. But really, looking at these images, I would, if I had this, I would keep this in a robot mode all day long because it looks so damn good.
Yep.
The only thing I'm noticing is I'm curious about the transformation because, and I'm sure there's another article on TFW 2005 that shows the transformation. His butt has all the tape buttons as well as his front, which is weird to me. Oh.
Interesting.
Yeah, you look at image 7 and then you go back to like image 3 or 4 or 5. Yeah. They're on both sides of them, which is weird. But yeah, I do dig this, and I love those cassettes. And seeing Buzzsaw for the first time, that does look really, really cool.
I find it funny that Ravage is
He's a Favage.
Yeah, the other ones you can tell can fit in the cassette thing. He just looks like, oh, I can only fit one today.
Pretty much, yeah.
Soundwave is like, I'm a little full. I'd be surprised if they can fit all three.
I don't think they can. I'm pretty sure.
I don't think they can, but yeah. I mean, it looks cool.
All right, folks. Skybound Transformers Comics solicitations for October 2024. I don't think we did the September ones, but I don't have those pulled up right now. But in October of this year, we are getting the next new story arc for Transformers and Void Rivals with Transformers and Void Rivals issue 13 of each series. Daniel Warren Johnson, Jason Howard, Mike Spicer on Transformers, Robert Kirkman, Lorenzo DeFelici, Patricio Del Pesce on Void Rivals. For Transformers, new story arc, The Secret Origin of Starscream. Dun, dun, dun. After the stunning events of his battle with the Decepticons, Starscream has been left for dead. Now the secret to surviving the future may be revisiting his shocking past. Dun, dun, dun. What do we always say around here, folks? What do we always say?
Oh.
Hello? What do you mean, hello?
I said, oh, I don't know.
Know. Seeds of the future may lie buried in the past. So that's for Transformers 13. Void Rivals 13. Pythonia of Cobra La ventures deep into space. Will her mission spell certain doom for the Void Rivals? Jesse, a.k.a. Matrix Prime, and I have been reviewing The Void Rivals over on his comic book show, Another Comic Review, and it's a really, really good space series. It has hints of Transformers. It has certain Transformers characters show up in it, but it's also its own new, wholly interesting universe that they're starting with Skybound Comics, Skybound Entertainment Comics, I should say. So very, very interested to see what the new story arcs for those are going to be. And then the rest of the show is San Diego Comic-Con, folks. So the coolest thing so far that I can tell that Hasbro is going to be doing at San Diego Comic-Con is this. Hasbro Pulse Fan Streaming Studio. For the first time ever, Hasbro will be giving fans a front row seat to all the Hasbro SDCC action with exclusive video streaming from the booth hosted by Toy Hunters Jordan Henborough. Oh my god. Toy Hunters Jordan Henborough. And available for fans 18 and plus on the Hasbro Pulse YouTube channel. Studio content will feature interviews, panel recaps, product reveals, franchise and design discussions, and more. Fans can expect interviews and appearances by RFS Kitchen, Jazz, and Frank Dodaro, Starscream. Transformers G1 40th Anniversary voice actors Robert Kirkman, comic book writer, screenwriter, producer, and chairman of Skybound Entertainment, Mark Rosewater, and head designer for Magic the Gathering, G.I. Joe Icon, and more. Now, when I first saw this, I thought, oh, they're going to have a live audience for the Hasbro Pulse fan stream thing that they do on Thursdays. That apparently is not what this is. That's what I thought it was. But it's okay, it's a booth thing at SDCC. That's cool. On Thursday, July 25th, they're going to do Transformers 1 panel at 11:45 a.m. in Hall H. On Friday, they've got the Energon Universe is Here panel with Daniel Warren Johnson, Joshua Williamson, Robert Kirkman, Tom Riley, and Sean Mankiewicz. The Hasbro panel from 6 to 7 p.m. on that Friday. Join the Hasbro Transformers toy development team as they take you behind the scenes to unveil the latest character figures from across the iconic brand. Plus, time permitting, there will also be a Q&A session filled with trivia and more. And that time's not going to be permitting. I can guarantee it. So, yeah, Hasbro at SDCC this year.
Yeah, I don't know what to think.
Oh, boy. If Megatron doesn't know what to think.
I'm waiting to see what comes out of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love them to do it, and this is not even Transformers related, but it's Hasbro related. G.I. Joe Classified remaster of the Deke series Cobra Commander. Mm-hmm. In the battle armor. I want to see that. I want to see Hugh Jackman Wolverine in the suit.
Yeah.
Come out of it. Because I still need that. But but yeah, otherwise, like, I don't know what to think of the rest of it. Because a lot of the figures, I get a feeling from at least the Transformers side, I'm probably not going to care. I'll care about Transformers 1,
mm-hmm.
probably not about the rest.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping to see some stuff with the Marvel Legends. And
yeah, that'd be cool. And I do have to, and I'm not usually one to do this, but I have to, because it affects me discussing and reporting on this or reacting to it. Whoever AZT is on TFW 2005, whoever posted this news, I really need to use spell check, because I seriously doubt that Hasbro booth experiential area, it should be experimental area, not... Yeah, it's misspelled everywhere.
No, experiential is... No, you think they're talking about the experience.
Oh, and I've never heard of that word before. Ever. So I guess I have to go look it up because I. And yes, you did just say what it was.
Yeah, but, it's a real word.
I've
relating or relating to or derived from experience or pertaining
that's,
to.
Okay, then I'm sorry, AZT.
Big word. Hey, well, I to be fair, I have seen people in TFW not use grammar in spelling.
So. I'm just saying it looks weird as hell because I've never seen the word before, and I'm sorry if I've never seen it before. I haven't, whatever. So they're going to have a bunch of panels at SDCC. They're going to have the Paramount Pictures panel July 25th, Hasbro G.I. Joe brand panel, Marvel Legends panel, like you mentioned, Star Wars panel, obviously, Transformers panel, Power Rangers Across the Morphin Grid, Friday night, 5:30 p.m., 6:30 p.m., and then Saturday, 50 Years of Dungeons & Dragons, Magic the Gathering, nobody cares, at least not on this podcast, they don't. Blades of Glory, Beyblade, X Comic-Con Showdown. So there's that. But yeah, Hasbro at SDCC, CCCC this year.
SDCC, CCCC.
We don't see nothing. So that's the news we got. Yep. What else you want to talk about?
Just wish I had the funds for the metallic version of Optimus Prime.
All right.
Yeah, but anyways, I'm waiting on SDCC to see what comes out of it. I would guarantee about a year from now, after this Studio Series 86 Prime comes up, we're going to get a premium finish from Takara.
Oh, most definitely.
And when they do, it'll probably have all the fixes that I'm looking for. Because that's what they did with Beast Wars, with Kingdom. Everything I painted on all those stupid things. Had I waited.
But we know you're impatient when it comes to Beast Wars, so we get it.
And honestly, it doesn't matter. I've got one. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And I got to have fun with it.
Very cool, very cool.
So, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's not a whole heck of a lot going on in the Transformers sphere. Probably after SDCC there will be.
Yeah, most likely.
But, yeah.
Yeah, most likely. But, yeah, no, I'm still loving, you know, the stuff we've always loved about Transformers. And that's the funny thing is that they are in a position now where they need to get the children of this generation. And you can talk about this a little more because I know you have kids, obviously, but you, the way you do your kids, the stuff with your kids when it comes to toy stuff is what it is. But it's one of those things where when I was a kid in the 80s, it was everywhere. And as I'm an adult now in my mid 40s and I don't have children, it's like, oh, okay, I think Hasbro needs to do something besides getting the they need to find that balance between collector and kid. And I don't know if they've found that yet.
And this is the thing. Kids nowadays don't play with toys.
That's very true.
They really don't. It's people our generation are like, I have this nostalgia for this item that I used to own, but I want it to look like the show. And so therefore it, you know, you either have the nostalgia for what it looked like in the show or for the original figure. And we're hitting this cusp of it's more so adult collectors.
Yep.
And not so much kids. And that's why all of the kids' products that have come out have been shelf warmers. And the figures that everybody wants have not.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, you've said it yourself before on here when you've told us that you've gone to Walmart or you've gone to this store or that store, and the stuff from a year ago is still on the shelves because it's not going to sell.
Well, and that's the thing, too. Target is just en masse clearancing off everything. Because nobody's buying it. So I feel like we're hitting this paradigm shift of stuff that we may see a lot of stuff either become exclusive or a lot less of it with a higher price bracket.
And I think, unfortunately, sadly, that's where they're leaning towards, is that higher price bracket, more so than attempting to capture young people's minds again.
I mean, one can hope. But I feel like the media, the storytelling needs to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I've heard, Skybound is doing well with Transformers.
They are
better than the animation has done in years.
Yeah, they are.
Since Transformers Prime. It was the last good series we got, really.
Yeah, 2012. Yeah. Robots in Disguise was...
And then before that was animated. And before that was Beast Wars. So...
It is what it is. I'm sure... Well, see, here's the thing. And I don't mean to be morbid about this, but I'm gonna be. So, warning, folks. If you don't like morbidity, move on about 5 seconds or so. Like I've been saying in other podcasts, and I said on the Dragon Slayer with Kai Dragon Media and everywhere else in the last X number of months or years, they're going to have to get that younger audience back into toy... playing with toys and toy collecting, because we all aren't going to be here forever. Us old hats, us collectors, well, we're not going to be around forever.
No, but the other issue is people are not spending money because the economy sucks. So,
what I'm saying, as far as their marketing, again, they need a balance between the kid market and the adult market. And I think because of this, the fact that this is anniversary year for the brand and all of that, they are so trying their best and unfortunately failing. Because honestly, I think Proto Man said it. I think I've said it too. But like, seriously, what are they doing for the 40th anniversary year other than finally announcing something we long thought was going to be announced? Which is this SS-8631. Like, I get it. Maybe more, like we already said when we went through all the San Diego, maybe these panels at San Diego, they're going to finally give us, like, the roadmap to the rest of the 40th anniversary celebration. But, like, you would think that Hasbro and Hasbro Pulse, especially with how passionate Ben is, with how passionate everybody else on the Transformers Pulse team is for those fan streams, those live streams on YouTube that they do, you would think that they would want to, even if it's something small. They released the Beast Machine score this year. Like, that had never been released before. Oh, and by the way, Hasbro, where the hell is the Beast Wars score that you promised us? Where's that soundtrack album? That was supposed to drop on July 28th. Yeah, really.
They didn't want to give it to us. X gonna give it to you.
Fuck, wait for you to get it on your own. Well, X is going to give it to them if they don't, you know, pony up the beasts. So.
What, Deadpool?
No. No, this is not pony. No.
X. X. It was.
Yeah, I know.
Movie, the song.
I remember the first trailer. I know. X going to give it to you. X going to give it. Rest in peace, damn X. Anything else you want to talk about, or we want to get the heck out of here?
No, I think we're good. But like I said, we need to figure it out. That's all I'm getting.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Absolutely.
For the best in science fiction, join Mark Baumgarten, Vicky Jakubowski, Zion Kiros, and Juan San Miguel on the award-winning podcast, Marku 42's Universe. Doctor Who, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Star Trek, and more are all fair game with Marku 42. Which has been around since 2012 in one form or another. Marku 42's Universe is proud to be a part of Geekcast Radio Network, the best place to get your geek on. Listen to us bi-weekly or weekly if we have a topic relevant for you, our listeners. Marku 42 on Geekcast Radio Network. A match made in a galaxy near you.
Discover a world of vintage and modern toys that's more than meets the eye with the Triple Takeover Toycast.
Hosted by toy writers and photographers Toybox Soapbox, 6-0, and TF Square One, this informal and chilled out series of discussions cover everything from vintage Transformers to Mask, Diaclone, Microman and more, be it nostalgic or current.
Whether you're a seasoned collector or a casual robot enthusiast, all are welcome.
Triple Takeover Toycast.
And again, folks, a little behind the scenes before I have Steve run through the whatever he's going to say to close the show out. When I'm looking for stories for us to talk about, I'm looking for things that I know we are going to want to talk about, that we are going to want to react to. I am not getting every single news story from this or any other Transformers website. I am not getting, like, there was several news stories about some other figures that I probably have never heard of or something or other. I'm like, why would we talk about that? So I curate and cultivate, like, this was seven stories. Granted, the SDCC CCCC thing was the biggest one because it's all announcements for the panels and whatever, but that's coming up this week. But, like, even if this wasn't an SDCC weekend thing, I still, normally if you, anyone's listening to the sound of my voice, y'all know, normally we have 6 to 8 stories, maybe sometimes 10. I usually keep the stories even, because that way we could either do 3 and 3. Like, if I wanted to talk about 3 and you want, like, if there were 3 Beast Wars stories right now, you'd be all over that. You know, 3 and 3, 4 and 4, blah, 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 blah. And unfortunately, there just isn't. And maybe we can have another reaction-type episode, obviously, for once SDCC is over. But until then, it's we're halfway through the 40th anniversary year, and we're still waiting. It's not we are here, we are waiting. It's we are still waiting. So give us some closing lines.
We shall see.
We shall see, Galvatron. We shall see.
Yeah. So thank you, as always, for listening to All Things Transformers. I've been your host, Steve Megatron, along with TFG1 Mike. You can, of course, interact with us and the show on X. I am at SCP21, and the podcast is All Things TFV3, and yours is
TFG1 Mike.
And you can interact on this episode's post on Facebook, and of course, always on GeekCastRadio.com, which is newly revamped, so check it out. So until next time, transform and transcend.
That website is a sleek, sexy import.
It's sleek, sexy import with turbo handling!
Yeah.
I wish to speak to my lawyer.